Good space time, y'all. This time on Citizen Cosmos, I talk to Willy, the head of decentralization at the Shapeshift DAO. We discuss the core values of decentralization, cross-chain DeFi, the community, DAOs, laser eyes, and having the best day ever for over 5 years.
We need bank accounts, and we're not going to be able to hire people if we're paying in tokens and stuff. And I really challenge that. I say, actually, you know, you can do it. You know, you think you need these things, but you don't need these things.
I don't really understand why anybody wants to start LLCs.
Think about the user experience of like somebody who actually then lands in your Discord. They land on your forum. How can you make it really easy for them to get engaged, get involved, and ideally start contributing? And then reward them with your governance tokens.
I think that in 5 years' time, people are not going to know what blockchain they're really using.
I believe in borderless, free, sovereign finance, and we don't need KYC for that.
Before we rock it off into our next episode, here is some news from our sponsor, Cyber. The Cyber Congress DAO is preparing the portal, which will open the gates of the rabbit hole. For now, the team invites everybody to create more Cyber links using Cyb.ai. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Citizen Cosmos. And today we have with us Willy, who is the head of decentralization for the foundation of Shapeshift. And it does have a little ring to it. I like that. I hope I said it correctly, William. And hi.
Hey, Serge. How's it going? What's up, everybody?
Good, man. How are you, man? How's sunny state, sunny Colorado?
Oh, it's a sunny day out here. I'm having the best day ever so far. How are you doing?
Good, man. It's also sunny, also nice. So, man, Shapeshift. So much noise, so many years, such a big project. Do you want to maybe introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit what you do. What does it mean to be ahead of decentralization?
Sure. Thanks, Serge. Yeah, my name is Willy. I've been a part of Shapeshift for almost 4 years now. I had the pleasure of being a part of Shapeshift when it was a centralized corporation. And then last year in July, we announced that we were becoming a DAO. And over the next 6 months, we worked on transitioning from a centralized corporation to a DAO. Employees were let go in three waves. And meanwhile, we were building up the DAO, deploying work streams. And yeah, things have been going really well. We're about 9 months into this DAO journey. Shapeshift has pivoted a bit. So when we first started in 2014, we were the first non-custodial exchange where you could trade crypto across chains from your own wallet rather than having to deposit it onto a centralized exchange. And Shapeshift was started right after the Mt. Gox fiasco. So it was built as a solution to having to deposit your funds onto a centralized exchange and give up trust. We were like doing cross-chain trading before DeFi, before DEXs, even before Ethereum. So when we saw the advent of these decentralized exchanges, we were really impressed. And we kind of realized that these decentralized exchanges were doing a better job at Shapeshift's original vision than we were. And that way to do this was to decentralize protocols so that you could list any new token as soon as it came up and ideally even be permissionless so that people could come list their own tokens. So we embraced these decentralized exchanges. We integrated the DEXs on Ethereum. We integrated Thorchain the day that they launched mainnet. And the day that we integrated Thorchain, we sunset our own trading desk. So now you can think about Shapeshift as a free, open source, community-owned, and soon decentralized interface between users' private keys and decentralized protocols. So we support multiple wallets, we support multiple chains, and we support multiple protocols on those chains. So now on Shapeshift, you can come and buy, sell, send, receive, trade, earn yield on cryptos on 11 different blockchains right now.
And it's all non-custodial, right?
Yeah, non-custodial is one of our core values. We're all about financial sovereignty. And another one of our core values is just this multi-chain future. We've always believed in Shapeshift as a multi-chain future. So we love Ethereum, we love Bitcoin, we love Cosmos, absolutely. And Shapeshift is one interface where you can do things on all these different chains and even across chains.
Tell me about the journey. I mean, I have a lot of questions for you about the decentralization, about the DAO, and I will ask them for sure. But in crypto, a project for, what is it now, 6, 7, 8 years, right? That's like history, man. That's like a museum kind of thing. Tell me how the journey has been for you personally.
Oh, yeah. For me personally, it's been an awesome journey. And yeah, we've been at Shapeshift, we've been through several market cycles. So we've seen a lot of ups and downs. My first experience with Shapeshift was in 2017. My friend showed me Shapeshift as an easy way to trade, and I just thought it was so cool. And I've always liked altcoins and hot new tokens and cool visions and stuff. So I'm always looking for the next hot thing. So at the end of 2017, I actually started a company called Bitfract. And it was the first tool where you could trade Bitcoin for multiple cryptocurrencies in a single transaction. It was built on top of Shapeshift. You could buy any of the tokens or coins that Shapeshift supported, and you could choose what percentage you wanted of each coin, send in Bitcoin, and then we'd use Shapeshift to execute the trades, and then it would send all of the crypto to you, whatever addresses you had input. that was a pretty awesome experience. And 6 months after we started that, Shapeshift acquired Bitfract, and we were brought on to the team to basically build the new version of Shapeshift. So this is the time when Shapeshift was realizing that the original exchange model, first of all, there were some regulatory issues with it, and we came to the conclusion that we needed to implement KYC to continue offering trading functionality. So my first day at Shapeshift, actually, we had the all fox where the whole company was told, hey guys, we actually have to realize that we need to implement KYC. That was kind of disappointing because I was a huge fan of Shapeshift. It was my favorite company, but that was a surprise. Before KYC, Shapeshift was the leading way to trade crypto non-custodially. And after we implemented KYC, we lost a lot of our users and our volume and our revenues. A lot of our existing users started, and even wallets that had integrated Shapeshift to power their trades, didn't want to start requiring KYC. So they implemented a lot of the copycat projects that had kind of done the same thing that Shapeshift had done, but without, weren't requiring KYC yet. So that was a tough couple of years, basically. First of all, we had to spend months building this KYC functionality, not only into our products, but into our organization, bringing on compliance teams and everything. So that was a lot of effort that really ended up hurting us more in the long run. And I wish we could go back in time and just realize, you know what? We should just stop the trading thing now. We shouldn't go down this centralized route. We should instead just start embracing these decentralized protocols, even though decentralized exchanges weren't quite feasible yet. So that was one of the challenges. We didn't have the option at the time to just plug into these decentralized exchanges because they hadn't been built yet. Retrospectively, that was probably not the right decision. But at the time, there were reasons that it made sense for us to make that switch at the time. But yeah, once we saw these decentralized exchanges actually working and able to handle the liquidity that and the volume that we had with our users, we immediately integrated them. And since then, things have been going great. We were able to remove KYC, which made our product better. And now as a DAO, things are going better than they ever were at centralized Shapeshift. I love centralized Shapeshift, but life at the DAO is even better. So some of the differences, like before at centralized Shapeshift, first of all, we were closed source. So we could only build however much as we had internal bandwidth to build. And there's so much to build in the cryptocurrency world. We want to integrate all these protocols, all these chains. We were always limited to for how much we could prioritize. Also, things were pretty secret at Shapeshift. Like there's a big separation between the internal employees and team and our actual users in the broader community. And I always hated that. Like, we'd be working on cool stuff, but I couldn't talk about it at conferences. I couldn't tell anybody about it until it was live. Now at Shapeshift, everything is just open. We have public meetings every day in the Discord. Anyone can just come in and hang out. It's really awesome. I like being able to be just fully transparent. And it's powerful because now we have the support of the community. And Shapeshift, we have such an awesome community because we have been around for so long. We're a recognizable brand. And so I don't know if you got an airdrop, but when we launched the DAO, we airdropped to 1 million past users. And it was really awesome. Anyone who had ever traded on Shapeshift with an Ethereum address, so we knew which address to airdrop tokens to, got some FOX. And a ton of them came into the community. And that's one of my favorite parts about the DAO is just the awesome power of the community. Builders all around the world coordinating every day, coming up with cool ideas, sharing their unique perspectives and stuff to achieve this vision. And we are now moving faster towards this vision. We're spending less than we did at a centralized company. We're earning more revenues. And this is 9 months into it. So we're just getting started. But so far, I don't think we can be hoping for things to be going much better.
Man, this is fantastic hearing things like that. This is what we all, I think, are here for, right? To see how products progress from centralization to decentralization. Actually, it's interesting. What's your opinion, by the way, on this? I mean, as far as I know, I'm going to ask the question in a weird way, but I would love to hear your opinion end of the day. From what I hear, from what I read, there is like two big opinions: to start in a decentralized manner or the opposite. Start centralized and slowly let go of first this, then that, and eventually end up in a decentralized project. What's your opinion? How should applications, protocols, how should they be launched in Web3? In a decentralized manner or a centralized and go towards decentralization?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. I'm a big fan of decentralization. I do think it is the way. So I think the sooner you can get to that, the better. When Shapeshift started, it wasn't possible to be a decentralized organization. Ethereum didn't exist, DAOs didn't exist, so we had no choice. But if I were starting a new project today, I would absolutely push to start it as a DAO. Because once you do start it as a centralized organization, then it's more difficult to then transition to a DAO. With Shapeshift, it was pretty interesting, though. Huge props to Eric and John for getting our shareholders and on board with the idea of transitioning to a DAO. We wouldn't have been able to do it without that. I think there were some advantages. The fact that Shapeshift had been around for a while, we weren't just starting from scratch. We had a community, not just of our internal employees who all knew each other and worked together well, but also our users. So that, I think, was pretty advantageous. And we were able to do a lot of work as a team internally to then launch the DAO successfully. Instead of launching a DAO and then saying like, oh, now we got to, as a community, figure out our governance process. Oh, wait, how do we even pass a proposal to do this? Because we don't have a governance process. we were able to build the DAO stack, build the governance process, and kind of just gift it to the community and say, okay, now going forward, you guys have the ability to change any of this, but at least here's a functional framework that you can use to begin as a starting point. So yeah, I talked to a lot of people now who are working on new projects, and I encourage them to go the DAO route. And they say, oh, no, we can't go the DAO route yet. Like, we need to start as a centralized company because X, Y, and Z, right? Like, we need bank accounts, and we're not going to be able to hire people if we're paying in tokens and stuff. And I really challenge that. I say, actually, you know, you can do it. You know, you think you need these things, but you don't need these things. Maybe it might be a little bit more difficult for you in the early stages to take the decentralized route, but it's going to pay off in the long term. And I also think progressive decentralization is important. You don't have to start day one being fully decentralized because it is difficult. And right now, not even all the tools exist where you can do everything you need to do as an organization in a decentralized way. But as long as you're progressively getting more decentralized, and I think that's the right trend, and as long as you're transparent with the community about where the points of centralization are, then I think that's fine, right? And you can work together as a community to address each of those points.
As somebody who's already been through the whole journey of going from a centralized to a decentralized company, organization, what would be your number one advice to those who are doing the same route, unfortunately or fortunately, let's say they didn't launch in decentralized, what's the one thing that you did and you're thinking, man, we should not have done that or done it differently? What would be your advice here?
Yeah, I think it's a challenge. You want to launch your DAO, right? But you want to make sure that you have a sufficient, that you're ready to launch, right? The MVP. And ideally, like an MLP, not just like minimum viable, but a minimum lovable experience. But you don't need to have everything figured out. As long as you have that core framework where people can come in and pass proposals and start contributing and coordinating, that's a great place to start. And once you have that, I think the most important things are you need some dank memes, basically. You need to make it really clear what your DAO is about and why anybody who hears about your DAO should be interested, why they might want to get involved. How can you distill that into a really clear mission, like Gitcoin, funding open source public goods, Giveth, building the future of giving. Shapeshift, it's like the one-stop shop for cross-chain DeFi. I think we still need to work on like that meme so it's catchy. But from that, we can have all the actual cartoons and pictures and funny stuff that go viral and capture people's attention. But that's so valuable because the DAO, it's all about the community. And so you need to start building that community. And that was when I've also had experience working with Giveth. And that was amazing to see unfold in real life because Giveth is, we're building the future of Giveth. And if you're in the crypto space and you want to contribute to that, you care about impact DAOs and philanthropy, then Giveth is a great community to come join. And it was amazing just to see people all around the world just come join the community and say, hey, I believe I share the same vision that you guys do. I believe in this mission. How can I help? And it's so powerful. So you need to make it really clear to somebody why they would want to get involved with your community and then make it easy for them to onboard. Think about the user experience of like somebody who actually then lands in your Discord, they land on your forum. How can you make it really easy for them to get engaged, get involved, and ideally start contributing? And then reward them with your governance tokens. And if you can figure out that cycle where people can hear about your DAO, get involved, and then become owners and contribute and add value, then you're off to a great start. And the rest can just be built by the community.
In your opinion, is a DAO suitable for any type of product? Let's go crazy. Podcast. What would a DAO do in a podcast?
Yeah, I like to think that DAOs really can apply to just about any business. And the reason I think about that is I just think about, first of all, DAOs can be designed really however you want. There are a lot of people who assume DAOs are flat. They can be, but they can also be a hierarchy with like one person on top, as long as the community is ultimately in control and deciding that. So just like you can have a podcast company with shareholders and stuff, you can have a podcast DAO. And you can bring each of your guests, you can give some tokens to, right? So that they have now ownership in your DAO. So yeah, I really do think that you can create just about any kind of business, any organization. You can either do it with a bank account and with a legal entity, or you can do it with a treasury on chain. I think right now it probably makes most sense for like these digital communities or technology software companies or protocols. But yeah, I don't see any reason why in the future, it's not going to be easier to start a DAO, and you're going to be able to do all the things that you can do as a centralized corporation as a DAO. There's only a few things you can't do right now. You can't have bank accounts, you can't sign contracts, but like pretty much everything else you can do. But there's infinite things that DAOs can do that centralized companies can't do. You know, why would you want to start an LLC if you could just go online?
I don't really understand why anybody wants to start LLCs, man. I really don't get it. It's like, people, what are you doing? But it's true. It's crazy. But you said a very good point. The idea of like minting NFTs and giving them to guests and then to listeners for episodes has been in my head for a while. I'm just, to be honest, I've been waiting to do it on Cosmos and not on Ethereum. But yeah, so there's many, many things you can do here.
I hope I get an airdrop when you launch your podcast.
Yes, yes, for sure, for sure, for sure. I think we're going to do everyone. So I have a slightly different question for you. What is, in your opinion, the future of DAOs? Where are we heading? How are they going to look in 5-10 years' time? Is it still going to be, is it today? Is it going to be a different architecture? What do you think?
I think we have barely begun to scratch the surface of like what's possible with DAOs. And you can just see like where DAOs are today versus where they were a year ago and 2 years ago. They've come so far and they're still continuing to innovate. And now the pace of innovation is accelerating because there's all these real DAOs that need solutions. And so there's a huge opportunity for entrepreneurs to come build these solutions. DAOs in 5 years, I think it's hard to even imagine what they could look like. Like I just saw a brilliant idea yesterday on Twitter for improving the governance process, making it more like GitHub, where people can put comments on different verbiage in the proposal, suggest changes, suggest different ideas, and then people can comment on the suggestions and the proposal creator can merge it, or you can fork a proposal.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, it blew my mind. I'm like, that makes so much sense. I'm like, why hadn't we thought about that yet, right? So yeah, I think we're just getting started. And I think big bet that we're making at Shapeshift is that these things right now that you can't yet do as a DAO, like have bank accounts and sign contracts, we are making the bet that these problems will be solved in the coming years. So the foundation, our goal is in 4 years to dissolve ourselves. And we will do that once Shapeshift is completely decentralized. There's no need for a legal entity. There's no central points of failure. So our mission is to remove all the central points of failures, replace them with decentralized alternatives so that we can dissolve ourselves and pass complete control over to the Fox token community.
It's interesting. You mentioned values, goals a lot. And I don't know if you ever listened to any of the previous episodes, but our focus mainly in the podcast is on values and on motivation.
I got the Shapeshift values right here. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. For everybody who cannot see, Willy's got nice Shapeshift values leaflet, I would say, right? This is what is it? But this is my question. You mentioned it so much that I still haven't even asked, because usually I'm the one to ask about that, but it's great that you bring it up. What was, sorry, first of all, I don't know if you know, but if you do know, what was the original motivation that Shapeshift was created? And the second part of the question, what is the big goal, or let's say not value, but the goal and the motivation of the DAO right now? Is it still, by the way, aligned with the original thing, or is it completely changed? And how did it progress, if it did?
So I would say we've stayed true to our values from day one. And so the core values that Shapeshift was founded on was financial sovereignty, enabling financial sovereignty for billions of individuals across the world, borderlessly, unstoppably, trustlessly. And I think we've done a great job sticking to that vision. We've also always believed just in this multi-chain future, and that there's value beyond Bitcoin, beyond Ethereum, and that if this future is going to exist, then there should be a way where any individual can access this future in a way where they're not giving up custody or trust, or they can't be censored or stopped. So yeah, I think it's cool because the industry has evolved around us. And so the way that we've tried to tackle that vision has evolved, absolutely. But now we are embracing just all of these decentralized protocols that are new ones are getting built every single day. And I just think that's so cool. It's hard for me to imagine like a more important mission than enabling this anyone in the world to access all these amazing protocols that are being launched. I think that if we can enable that and bring that to the masses, that is going to have more of an impact on society than anything else that I can think of. And all of these cool protocols like Giveth, I love Giveth. I think Giveth is one of the most amazing things ever. But in order for anyone to be able to use Giveth, we need to make it easy and we need to build the infrastructure and the tools that people can access Giveth and access it in a decentralized way. You can have all these cool decentralized protocols, but if the actual interfaces themselves, or if the backend, the blockchain data that users need to be able to access this itself is centralized, then you can't really enjoy this decentralized future. So Shapeshift is in a great position to solve that because we've been running nodes and interacting with these chains since 2014. We have a ton of experience doing this and doing it in a non-custodial way. And now, not only do we have this amazing team that's been working at Shapeshift for 8 years, but we've got this awesome community. Like one thing that's really cool right now that we're open source is that we've been putting bounties on Gitcoin every day. And Shapeshift right now is a top project on Gitcoin for putting bounties out. And so developers out there, if you're interested in getting involved with Web3 and earning some crypto, you can check out the Shapeshift profile on Gitcoin, because if you get familiar with our code base, there's new bounties coming out every day. And as a result, we're building faster than ever.
Man, this is so cool. I didn't know that Shapeshift was the number one project offering tasks on Gitcoin, because I have used in several projects Gitcoin, and I think it's a fantastic thing. What is now, though, the main goal of the DAO? I mean, financial sovereignty, I understand that, but let's like get a little bit more to the ground, I would say. I mean, you said in 4 years, you want to dissolve the foundation, makes a lot of sense. But for those 4 years, what are the goals?
So if you go to app.shapeshift.com right now, I can show it to you. I have it up and we could show you the new Cosmos functionality. We could stake some Cosmos.
Nice.
And it's beautiful. It's super easy to use. There's no fees added ever. So Shapeshift, you can think of us as like an aggregator right now. So we build really great UI UX, and you can come to app.shapeshift.com right now, buy, sell, send, receive, trade, earn yield under crypto, all for free and across chains. So our trade page, it looks a lot like Uniswap, where you can trade one asset for another and put the amounts, but it's also got ThorChain integrated as well. So in that same interface, not only can you trade all the Ethereum assets, and it's not just Uniswap, it's all the top DEXs on Ethereum, but you can also trade Ethereum for Bitcoin. And we just launched this. So the way we're building all of this too is with abstraction layers, so that we build one UI UX, that's great, and we're constantly optimizing that. And then any protocol that shares that same UI UX, which is like a lot of the trading protocols look the exact same, a lot of the lending protocols look the exact same, a lot of the single asset staking yield protocols, it's the same UI UX, right? You approve the token, choose the amount, you deposit, you see number go up. So the way we're building things is so that once we build this UI UX once, it's very easy for other protocols to come integrate themselves. So for example, the first yield generating protocol we integrated was Yearn. And right now we're working on the abstraction layer, and we have Idle Finance ready to come integrate them or put a bounty up to get integrated. And we're actually going to partner with them on this bounty. So they're going to put up half the funds from their treasury. We're going to put up half the funds from our treasury. And then anyone in the community who wants to come integrate Idle can just come plug it into our existing UI UX and our abstraction layer. Similarly with Cosmos, we built it in a way where now that we have Cosmos support, it's very easy for us to support all the Cosmos zones. So there's a bounty also up from Osmosis. This is another joint bounty from the Osmosis community to get integrated into Shapeshift. And this is in progress. Now that we have Cosmos support, it's much easier for us to add Osmosis. So that will be coming soon. Not only Osmosis sending, receiving, and staking, but trading and liquidity providing and bonding. And then we want to support all the Cosmos zones, right? So if you're a Cosmos zone listening to this, come integrate yourself into Shapeshift. Or if you guys are busy, come put a bounty up to get integrated into Shapeshift. It's going to be really easy. You can check out the UI UX. It's awesome. And obviously, the next big milestone that I'm excited about after that is bridging, enabling bridging between Ethereum and between Cosmos, so that in one place, you can come connect your Kepler, or you can connect your MetaMask, or you can connect the Shapeshift wallet, and it supports both Ethereum and Cosmos and Bitcoin. And you can do cool stuff in Ethereum land, and you can do still cool stuff in Cosmos land, all on the interface, all for free, all open source, all community owned, and soon, fully decentralized. We should absolutely talk about Foxchain.
This is my next question, man. This is exactly where I'm going to get at it. So when are we going to see Foxchain on Cosmos?
So if you guys haven't heard about Foxchain, it's a new Cosmos zone that's under development in collaboration with Shapeshift. And we're also working with Coinbase Cloud on building this out. And they've been awesome. So shout out to the Coinbase Cloud team. But yes, it's in the early stages of development, or really we're in like the research phase right now. So we're kind of designing all the protocol. We're doing models and stuff with tokenomics, and I should say what Foxchain is. Basically, what Foxchain is, it's a network to incentivize node operators to provide blockchain data to end users, to clients. So we need this for Shapeshift to be decentralized, right? Like Shapeshift, we've always operated the nodes ourselves, but we need, in order to fully decentralize and for the foundation to dissolve, we need to have another source of blockchain data, ideally a decentralized source. And that doesn't exist yet. So what Foxchain does is it incentivizes node operators to run nodes for any blockchain they want to run nodes for, and then get rewarded in Fox tokens. And it enables any client, including Shapeshift, we need it for ourselves, but any dApp that actually wants to be decentralized and not just rely on Infura or run their own nodes can plug into Foxchain to get the blockchain data they need for their end users. So we are in the research phase right now. It's going really well so far. I think we're going to have the first community call to update on progress this month, like in the coming weeks. And yeah, it's pretty cool because I've been privy to the meetings between Coinbase Cloud and the Foxchain workstream, which is led by Michael Perklin, the former Chief Information and Security Officer at Shapeshift. And it's just a really brilliant group. It seems like we've got the right team of people to solve this really hard problem. So far, anytime that there's a challenge, the team's been able to come up with really creative, awesome solutions to address it. So I'm hoping we'll see Foxchain live in like early 2023. So it's going to take a bit. But we'll see. The next stage, basically, once this community approved proposal for $300,000 to basically complete this research phase to design kind of the whole spec and architecture and details for Foxchain. And then the next proposal the community will see is like, okay, here's the kind of the optimal design that this team has come up with. Do we want to then fund the development of Foxchain? And I think the community, assuming that they come up with a solid design, I assume the community will want to fund it to build it out.
When are you planning to launch the first testnet for validators to come in already? Is there going to be an incentivized testnet before it goes live in 2023,
I'm sure there will be. There will at least be a testnet, and I'm not sure when that will be live. So I think hopefully once we complete this research phase, we'll have like a better timeline for when that could be available.
So the most important question, when airdrops of the new Fox chain token?
That's what we're figuring out right now. So
yeah. I see. So basically, is there any alpha here? Should people go and buy more Fox tokens now of the Ethereum to get more airdrop in the future or no?
I think I'm not supposed to say anything about that.
I know you're not, but I have to ask, you know. Nice try though, right? Maybe you kind of, shit, I forgot, and then said everything. I'm joking. Man, but I'm looking forward to that because I've heard in several places already, like this mentioned. I mean, the more IBC change, the better. So I have a slightly controversial question. And I'm going to make it up. So this is a made up story. You said yourself that the first day that you started work in Shapeshift, there was the whole thing with the introduction of the KYC. Obviously, now things have changed and things have progressed. Again, controversial question. So who is to say that the foundation that is still there or some of the company that is still there, let's say something bad happens. I don't know what, you know, the authorities come to Shapeshift, ask for all the data that how do people connect for all the, I don't know, which computer they're using, which IP, whatever, where are they coming from? So could that happen? Is that a possibility considering that there was such an incident already before, similar thing? Of course, it's a controversial thing, a made up story, but do you think something like that could happen?
I'm glad you asked because the foundation, we don't have that data. So we specifically made sure that we received the data necessary to continue operating Shapeshift's legacy infrastructure until we could sunset it and migrate all of our users to the new open source version, which doesn't require KYC and doesn't have any tracking whatsoever, actually, in the new open source version. There's no user analytics at app.shapeshift.com. So Shapeshift, if you guys know anything about these KYC laws, you're required to keep the data for like 5 years or something after you collect it. So Shapeshift is required to keep that data. But Shapeshift right now is pretty much operating in like skeleton mode. Almost all the employees have moved on and there's just a small skeleton group that's keeping Shapeshift alive. Basically, I think for like tax purposes this year and maybe just to be the custody of that data, which is all encrypted, stored offline in cold storage. And it's data that we didn't want to collect, right? This is like, we had to collect it, but we didn't want to. But we followed the rules. But fortunately, there's no reason for the foundation to receive this data because we don't need that to continue operating Shapeshift. So we specifically made sure that we didn't have access to the data. So if the regulators come ask us for it, we can't give it to them, which feels pretty good.
I understand what you mean. The less you know, the better you sleep. No, I'm joking. But it is true in this case. I know you're not about that, but I did have that question and I do want to ask your opinion because I think you've worked with KYC a lot. What is, in your opinion, the future of KYC in Web3? I hope it disappears, but what's your opinion here?
It's a great question. I am excited for like Sybil tools and stuff. So the ability to like know that an individual address is a real person and stuff. And I mean, as long as users are in control of their data and they can choose whether or not to share their data, I think it's a much better status quo than we have right now. And especially if there's options to do the things that you want to do in finance without being required to share that data, then I think that's a better world. I personally think that KYC is kind of ridiculous, right? Like requiring people to give up all their private information when normally it's like innocent until proven guilty. But here we're assuming people are bad actors and stuff. And then it's bad risk. It's like we're just a honeypot of all this data that time and time again is going to get hacked. So I'm excited about the potential for Web3 to enable users to at least have control of their data. I do think that there probably will be like on-chain KYC types of things that do get built. And while I probably won't myself use them, maybe there's some benefits. I won't say that there's no potential for benefits. Maybe it's possible that there people can come up with reasons why that's beneficial. But to me, I don't think it needs to exist. And I believe in borderless, free, sovereign finance. And we don't need KYC for that. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But I do think you're right that these KYC protocols will get built and some projects will choose to implement them and require them. And whether or not those projects are able to compete with the decentralized alternatives that don't require that, it's hard for me to imagine, but we'll see what they can come up with.
For sure. Because I don't want to like say something I'm going to get wrong, but I read on Twitter the other day something about Tornado Cash and somehow they managed to track users that come from Russia or something like that. And to be honest, I think it's wrong. I think this is as wrong as it gets. Like it's a privacy app and suddenly you guys are like, wow, you know, I mean, come on. I have a slightly different question for you. This is a strange question. So when I go on your Twitter account, man, you have an .ether nickname and laser eyes. So how does that work, man? You have to explain this.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I will say, so Ethereum is what got me into the space, for sure. It was the first crypto that I bought. But I very quickly also very much became a fan of Bitcoin and the values of sat money, decentralized money. And I have a lot of appreciation for Bitcoin. I personally think that Ethereum will flip in Bitcoin. But who knows what's going to happen? I definitely believe in a multi-chain world. And so I think that's a good way to just kind of show that. Like, I love Ethereum, but I also like Bitcoin. And I'm open to other chains. Whichever chain, whichever protocol best solves what I really care about, which is like decentralized financial sovereignty, then I'm happy to use that chain and support that chain. So I reject like the tribalism. And ultimately, I think like the real enemies are the banks, the legacy centralized infrastructure, the regulators, not each other, where I like to think we're on the same team. And it hurts me to see that the Bitcoin community is becoming so toxic and so maximalist. The good old days where a lot of the innovation happened in Bitcoin and we were all friends. So if the Bitcoin community continues going in that direction and Ethereum continues going in the direction that it's going, maybe I will get rid of the laser eyes and say, you know what, I'm sorry, Bitcoin, but I think Ethereum's doing a better job at actually achieving this initial vision that we all set out to solve. But for now, I still got love for the Bitcoin community. I still got Bitcoin. And I still got the laser eyes. I'm still hoping for 100K.
I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit. A lot of people, especially that came into crypto after 2017, not a lot, but a big majority, I've heard use the words that using Bitcoin today in crypto is kind of like using checks. So it's kind of like so dated and so there's no use case, no nothing apart from, well, it's money, but like, you know, then every cryptocurrency can do that. Again, I'm playing devil's advocate, but I would love to hear your opinion. You said that you love Bitcoin and you like the community still, even though it's becoming toxic. What is the value in your opinion with Bitcoin today?
Before crypto and Bitcoin, I used to like gold. So I really believe that like fiat is the biggest evil, the biggest scam in history. So I'm a big fan of like hard money. And I think Bitcoin has done a great job at solving that. However, I think it's possible that Ethereum is going to do an even better job. You're right. There's not a lot you can do with your Bitcoin right now. And I see the transaction fees that Bitcoin is generating right now. And I see how much it's costing to secure the network and the block reward going down. And right now, it's like it's not clear if Bitcoin's actual model is going to be sustainable. And that value that it has right now, its biggest utility, I would say, is hard money. And it's sound money, but Ethereum can't be ultrasound money. Like on Ethereum, not only can you do anything, right, and have all of these decentralized finance protocols that add a lot of value and that people are paying a lot to use because it's worth it, but Ethereum can also be money. If you can have hard money that has utility, that people are willing to pay for, and have a monetary model where it's actually deflationary but still sustainable, then that could actually be better than being sound money than Bitcoin. So I'm open to that for sure. But right now, Bitcoin has a lot of liquidity and it can still enable people to have financial sovereignty and to hold their own money and to send it to anyone around the world unstoppably. And so that's still very valuable. I still think that's super freaking cool. And I appreciate everything that Bitcoin has done to enable what Ethereum, these other blockchains are doing now.
For starting the, I don't even know how to say it, the circus back in 2009, for sure. I mean, that's one of the biggest thing it did. I mean, but still, it's hard to understand. I mean, I came into crypto in 2011, roughly. And Bitcoin for me was a mind-blowing thing. And it took me years to understand what the hell is going on, to be honest. Today, I guess I'm a bit less enthusiastic than you on Bitcoin, especially with all the toxicity.
I actually got rid of my laser eyes a couple days ago. A new picture. That was the way I did it because I didn't want to just do the same picture with no laser eyes. But I'm like, oh, you know, I got a new headshot. Might as well switch it out. I was thinking about that too, just what people think who are Ethereum maximalists. They're done with Bitcoin and stuff like that. I don't want my credibility to be hurt when they look at my profile and they're like, oh, this guy, you know, he thinks he understands Ethereum, but he's still got the laser eyes and stuff. And I totally hear you. And it's a shame to see what has happened to Bitcoin and that all the innovation has really left because I am a futurist and I like innovation. Bitcoin's kind of boring these days. So I do think Bitcoin really needs to be worried, I think, because if Ethereum can be better at being the sound money, which right now they're on track to achieve, the merge goes through and everything goes according to plan, like I think Ethereum is going to be better sound money than Bitcoin. So if you have that, if you're better at that core utility that Bitcoin has, plus infinite more possibilities that can be built on top of Ethereum, how could Bitcoin possibly compete with that? So I hear you, but the Bitcoin community, it's a strong community. They got a lot of supporters and stuff, and we'll see if they're able to survive. I would be happy to live in a world where we have Bitcoin and Ethereum and they both coexist and we have a decentralized money and applications. But I'd also be happy to live in a world where Ethereum, you know, ends up achieving that vision and Bitcoin ends up just being the MySpace to Ethereum.
I think my profile still says decentralization maxi. So I'm kind of all pro that. I hope that even it's already kind of happening, and Shapeshift is a great example for providing the ability to interact with different DeFi protocols already on different blockchains. I think that in 5 years' time, people are not going to know what blockchain they're really using. What is the underlying chain? Is there? They're just going to be using it. And I hope so, at least. I have two more questions for you. So the first one is more like a story that if you want to share. You kind of mentioned it already, but the whole decentralization of the stake of Shapeshift, I mean, you mentioned it in many, 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 many ways. What I would maybe love to hear a little bit more is how did it like suddenly, I mean, you said, oh, somebody brought it on the board. Well, I mean, I guess people bring to the board different things every day, right? But not everything happens. So if you can go into that story a little bit more, how it happened and why it happened suddenly like that, then I would love to hear that. I think everybody would love to hear that.
Shapeshift, we could see, if we look at like where we were in early 2021, when we kind of started going down this path, we could see around us that a lot of the projects that were best achieving like similar visions that we wanted to achieve, they were structured as DAOs, right? A lot of the top DeFi projects were DAOs. I had also had firsthand experience in ETHDenver 2020. I built Cause for the hackathon, which was the DAO to save the world. And we got first place and immediately afterwards started building it. And we ended up joining forces with Giveth and built out the new version of Giveth. And we built a DAO. We launched a token and built a community. And it was amazing to experience because I was able to do that in my free time. This is during the pandemic. So quarantine, lockdown is a perfect way for me to stay busy. So in every week, we're just having these community calls and more people are joining the community. And we built a beautiful product from scratch without any fundraising or anything, just off of donations. And that was pretty amazing to see. And so when we were figuring out what is the best path forward for Shapeshift, what's the best way we can achieve their dream, a heavy advocate for we need to decentralize. We need to structure ourselves as a DAO. We need to drop Fox tokens to all of our users and open source everything and work with the community to build a community-owned interface to these decentralized protocols. And I didn't even know if it would be possible. So at the time I was like, okay, like, can we do this DAO thing as a centralized corporation? Can we still like, how much of a governance token can we make Fox if we're still a centralized entity? And then Eric and John basically came to me and one day and said that we're going full DAO and we think it's the right way to go. And we've got the shareholders and the board on board with it. And I like jumped out of my chair with excitement. It was like a dream come true because at the time I was deep in DeFi. I was getting really excited about this whole DAO movement. I just think it's so freaking cool. And I think it's like the idea that you can have these community owned products and ecosystems and not have to have a centralized corporation with a CEO and everything. I just thought was so freaking cool. Yeah. So Shapeshift's going down this like centralized path in 2020, or we're at least like we're not going down the decentralized path. I see all these projects that are doing the decentralization path and it's awesome. It's like they're crushing it. They're exploding. They've got these awesome communities. And I'm like, I want that. But I'm so loyal to Shapeshift. I was like starting to get a little bit torn where it's like, okay, I love Shapeshift and the values, but are we approaching it in the best way? Are we taking the wrong approach? And so it was really awesome. I was so excited when we finally pivoted and went doubled down on the decentralization route because it was like, I finally feel like so energized once again to contribute to Shapeshift. And I no longer have these questions in the back of my head of like, am I doing the right thing? It's like, yes, we are pioneering. We're absolutely doing the right thing. And I couldn't believe that more. So for me, it's been a really awesome journey. And I was like, at the beginning, there was a lot of hope that things would go as planned, but it's like, there's a lot of uncertainty, right? And I think a lot of people maybe thought like, this sounds crazy. This sounds like a fantasy. Like no way are we actually going to be able to transform into a DAO and actually still operate or be more productive. But like, there's no doubt in my mind now, like anyone can come in and look at the Shapeshift community and see how much we're getting done every single day. If you look at our Twitter, it's like every day there's a new announcement. Marketing's like, slow down, you guys. It's like, we can't announce this today because we have this another announcement. Like we'll have to announce that next week. It's awesome. Great problems to have.
Love it, man. And the last question, which is a traditional question. You are so alive, man. You're so energetic. What on earth motivates you? Apart from decentralization, apart from the value of building like the... Is there something in your daily life that you could share, whether it's sport, I don't know, meditating, whatever, cat, walking the dog, I don't know. Something that you do every day that keeps you motivated like the way you are and keeps you building the decentralized future we're all striving towards.
Yeah, for 5 years now, over 5 years, I've been saying it's the best day ever, every single day. So I've kind of become known for that somewhat. And yeah, I love it. I think it's the right attitude to have. I'm really grateful. I'm super grateful. It's like, I love my job. I love the people that I work with. I'm so passionate about what we're working on. And it's fun. It's like, it's hard to imagine a cooler job where we can just go online, hang out with our internet friends and build cool shit and get rewarded for it. So my values are to, for first of all, work on something you love, work with people that you love, work hard. Obviously, that's an important one. Stick to your values. Oh, and have fun. Rule number one, have fun. It's so important. Yeah. And if you're not having fun, it's like you're not in the right place. But yeah, I have a lot of fun every single day. And it's pretty cool to be able to have fun and build something that I think is going to really have a big impact on the world.
I really, really like the rule number one, have fun, because this is my number one rule as well. And I think that's my biggest value. I love that you say the best day ever. I've never heard this before. This is fantastic. I'm going to remember this. I'm going to tell people about this. This is really cool. Willy, it's been a huge pleasure having you on. Looking forward to not just Foxchain, but to the way you guys are going to go on about, you say, integrating more and more like Cosmosis and other things. And yeah, thank you for coming on.
Thanks so much, Serge. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Bye.